Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 8. And starting in verse 36, the Word of God says, and this is a powerful statement. This is, I think, one of the most powerful questions that can be asked. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, that's not a passage that is talking about salvation, necessarily. It does have an application in that direction. But it has another application also to the believer. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he lost his soul? What does this mean? What is it that I gain if I gain the whole world? I remember I heard an interview one time with Sylvester Stallone. And he said he worked so hard and put in so much and finally accomplished his dream and got to the top. And he said he reached the top and he looked around and there was nothing there. He gained the whole world, but there was nothing there. This is a man who, as far as I know, is not a believer, or at least prior was not. And though he worked very hard and succeeded in many things, and he gained the whole world, but there was nothing there that actually satisfied his soul. He had, I don't know what he is like now, but I know that he had a history, a life that was very much a Hollywood sort of a life, with Hollywood sort of relationships that are numerous and meaningless. He gained the whole world, but he gained nothing for his soul. Yet believers, I think, sometimes try to gain the whole world. There is this strangeness, not strangeness perhaps, this irony in the Christian life. And it's found here in verse 34. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now that deny himself, that has this strange modern connotation of an ascetic lifestyle, but that's not what it's talking about. What is denying yourself? Denying, where does anything of self come from but self-consciousness? Let him end the self-consciousness. Let him end the self-occupation, the self-orientation. Self-consciousness is that which leads me to every other sin. In self-consciousness, I become conscious horizontally. I'm no longer conscious toward my Savior, and this was the big trick that Satan played. By the way, why did Satan beguile Eve? He offered her the whole world, but he took away her soul. And then he didn't give to her anyway. Self did that. Folks, from time to time, we are all going to be there, and you will also. You're going to be offered things of the world. Don't take them. I'm not saying that if you have an opportunity and it's okay with God. No, that's perfectly fine. I'm saying the things that will steal your soul. How often are young people engaged? I saw this today. How often are young people engaged in these strange relationships that are saved only for those who are married? And yet they'll stand in the hallway, and that little bit down from my door, stand in the hallway necking. And they say to you, if you look, what's wrong with that? Well, if you don't think foreplay is going to lead you eventually to sex, what's wrong with your thinking? If you don't think that when you are necking that the hormones that are released, the oxytocin and the endorphins, if you don't think the biochemical responses that cause you to be aroused are making any impact with you, then I want to know, what's your problem that you fail to see the absolute obvious? And it steals your soul. Are your thoughts pure as you are? I don't know why this one's coming. Are your thoughts pure as you are necking with that guy or that girl? Are you thinking of the beauty and the glory and the sweetness of God? Is He on the throne of your heart at that moment? Or is lust on the throne of your heart, whereby it is that which you are committing already? Jesus said, if you have thought it, you have done it. And you are engaged in the foreplay activity of it? Is that how you choose to win your soul? This is why we teach no-touch love. You don't go out necking. This is why we teach no dating. Do you know why you don't date? Because you establish the wrong mindset and the wrong premise. You date some girl, you date some guy, and then you break it up, and now guys and girls, there's a premise in your mind, they are like this or like this. And now this is how you relate to all the rest of them, and it's you get married, and this is how you start to relate to your spouse. By failed relationships that were not of God to begin with, that were sin to begin with, and that totally destroy the premise on which I relate to the opposite sex. You're telling me that this is how you build your soul? It's not right. You go after money like there's no tomorrow, like money is going to save your problems. Like money is your solution. Is this what you are going for? But you lost your soul. Oh, you didn't lose it to hell, but you've lost your thoughts with God. You've lost your ability to respond. You've lost that sweetness that was in you. I know a lot of people who've gone down that road, and the difference is dramatic. You've lost something. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? How many believers would leave a call for a relationship or money or a better job or prestige or opportunity not of God? They've lost their soul. They haven't sent it to hell. But how many people would walk away from a calling where God is providing for them, where they are learning how to think with the Word of God, where eternity is awaiting and their soul is being richly rewarded? You see, you may gain the whole world, but there's a bema seat coming. What did you gain for your soul? Paul, who was imprisoned in chains, frequently hated and ridiculed, whipped, killed, he said, I rejoice in my tribulations. You see, he wasn't interested, and I'm not saying that we should look for tribulation and making that kind of comparison in any way at all, but what I am saying is, don't love the world. To be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God, the Bible says. And though we minister to the worldly crowd, and though we befriend them in that respect as to reveal Christ to them, we have no friendship with the world. Because the world will have no friendship with us. Didn't Jesus say, they hated me and so they will hate you also? By the way, that is a form of unequal yoking. Don't love the world. Don't love the ways of the world. It'll take away your soul. Your sweet words will depart. Your love for the Savior, your intimate communion with Him departs in the world. Keep yourself in the love of God, Jude said. Keep yourself in the love of God. It builds your soul. It builds your faith. Keep yourself in the Word of God. How many people will trade the Word of God for convenience? It's not convenient for me to be built up. I don't have time. I'm very busy at work and my schedule is very difficult. I'm very busy at school and my schedule is very difficult. And do you understand? You know, in our lives we buy and we sell. In every decision that I make, I buy and I sell. And there is not one decision in my life where I am not buying and selling. My Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Jesus said to the rich man, sell all that you have, give it to the poor and follow me. Why did he say, sell all that you have and give it to the poor? Why first sell all that you have and then why give it to the poor? Because the rich man was used to relying on his natural resources, his abilities and his possessions, on that which was of the world and natural, and not relying on God. Hey guys, can I give you a little bit of advice, particularly the young, but really all of us? This is advice that came with heavy experience. Learn to build yourselves up. Every single day. Develop an intimate relationship with your Bible. Develop an intimate relationship with whatever you listen to messages on. Both, not just one. I grew when I started hearing my pastor preach. And even today, if there is a day when I don't get built up, I can sense it in myself that I'm not quite right with God. There's a hardness and a coldness. There's not a tenderness and a gentleness there. That day, I'm just not quite right with God. Learn to build yourselves up. Become autonomous believers, but not independent believers. Become believers who could be, if necessary, on your own. How do you know that tomorrow you will be able to come out anyway to church or to outreach or anything? How do you know that tomorrow as you step outside you will not meet with an accident that's going to lay you up in your house for many years? It happens, believe me. Are you still going to be a Christian with the Savior? Are you still going to be someone who has a sweetness to them and a sweet communion with their Savior? Or was your walk with God strictly about being able to travel? Albeit travel to church. What does it gain a person if they gain the whole world and lose their soul? Are you so busy at school or at work that you don't have the time to get built up every day? You know what? If that's you, drop a class in secular college. If you're too busy in secular college, who says you need to graduate in 4 years? Graduate in 5. Don't make eternal trade-offs where you don't come out on top. A lot of people trade the eternal on the altar of the temporal. Don't do that. Gain the eternal and trade the temple if you must. But go for the eternal. How often do you consider in your mind, is this eternity? How often does it occur to you, I am going to meet God at the Bema Seat. What is my eternity going to be like? I'll tell you now, every spirit-filled Christian has that thought in the back of their mind, albeit not the forefront. And this is not something that I beat myself over the head with. This is something like, God, teach me. By the way, if you don't feel like you are perfect, welcome to the club. I'm not either. If you feel like you are a basket case and a train wreck, welcome to the club. So was Paul. If you feel like you don't have it together at all, welcome to the club. Peter definitely did not. If you feel like you are a sore loser, like a miserable loser, you know what? So did Jeremiah. If you feel completely inept and incompetent and unable, you know what? So did Isaiah. If you feel like you cannot serve God and you've got 50 million reasons, you know what? So did Moses. You know what they did though? They did it anyway. God is not looking for the feelings of your perfection. Because so long as I am a human being, I'm not going to have feelings of perfection. I've been at this for more than a quarter of a century, and I've been a pastor, and I'll tell you something, I don't have feelings of perfection. But then again, I don't look for them either. You know why? Because one thing that I have learned is that they are not necessary. And the sooner that I stop looking for them, the better off I'll be. And you know what the amazing thing is? The sooner I stop looking for them, the quicker I will grow. Because it's not about your perfection. It's not about you getting it together. It's not about you having the answers. It's about you saying, here am I, Lord. Are you available to God for His call? Or are you available to God for yours? How often do I try to self-define my life? It must be like this. And God says, no, that's not how it is. I will guarantee you one thing. If you are spirit-filled, the vast majority of the time, you simply won't get it. I don't know what God is doing in my heart and my life and why He is doing it. But I know it's for a reason. I don't understand sometimes how the promises of God apply or how they're going to work out. I just know they are. I don't know how my prayers are going to be answered. I just know they will. I don't know why God has made me the way He has made me and why He allows the things He allows. But I do know this. I am what I am by the grace of God. What will you trade for your soul? You will have the opportunity to make the trade. What will you trade for your call? You will have the opportunity to make the trade. What will you trade for His Word? You will have the opportunity to make the trade. What will you trade for the love of God? You will have the opportunity to make the trade. This is why Satan corrupts in the world. Because he's stealing. He can't send you to hell. And get this, He can't make you do anything at all. But He can lie. And He can deceive. Satan cannot make you do one thing. So he lies to you so that you will choose according to what he desires. He steals your soul. In your decisions, decide toward God. Why is it that so many people who are so successful in the world do these things like kill themselves, or more commonly get on drugs or alcohol? And they have all the things that people often lust after. Like that one actress, she has the guys, and she's got the money, and she's got the job, and she's got the fame, and she's got the drugs, and now she's got prison. How is it? I know actors, this one actor, and I'm not going to mention their name. The guy lives with a $12 bottle of booze, and he's a multi-millionaire. And he's got the women, and he's got the fame, and he's got the job, and he's got the house, and he's got the money, and the whole nine yards. Why is it? Because when he gained the whole world, he lost his soul. What are you after? Ask yourself that. Because whatever it is, unless it's of God, you're buying and trading. And in this case, you would be trading the truth and selling it. Don't compromise with the world. Just don't. But I have to. No, you don't. But I won't get what I want. So, then you'll gain Christ in the process. Don't compromise with the world. You trade elements of your soul. What are people so easily willing to put into their own frames of reference, their own hearts, their own souls? How many people are willing to put themselves into positions or environments that are ungodly? Don't do that. What does it profit a man if he gains the world and loses his soul? What does it mean? I lose my ability to think with God. My emotions are no longer regulated by the Word of God and the things of God. My self-consciousness is no longer derived from my Savior and from the things that God says about me, my self-image. And my conscience is not clear and clean. My conscience is soiled, and my conscience is not covered in the blood, but it is covered by my own experiences. I start to relate according to my experiences and not according to the Word of God. You know how many relationships and how many marriages have been destroyed because people could not relate according to what God says about them? How many people carry baggage and they bring it into their godly relationships? And they don't have a capacity? Because they are conscious of things that have passed away? Was it really worth that? And if you have been there, then do not be condemned. The blood of the Savior, the blood of the Savior cleanses you and your conscience. Believe on the blood of the Savior. Believe what Jesus has done for you. Believe Him. Because it is real and it is true and it is the way it is. You see, there is another way to gain the world. In my thinking and in my mind and in the way that I relate. How often do Christians, I saw one today as a matter of fact, relate like the world relates? A young woman who is born again talking about going to bars with an unbeliever, and she is relating how the world relates. She is losing her soul though. She is losing that sweetness and that richness and that beauty that God gives to a soul, that God has for a person. She is in a relationship, I know, because she has told me, and she should not be in that relationship. And she is losing that sweetness that God gives when a relationship is of Him. And when the time comes that it is of Him, she will not be able to trust it. Because she has established a different premise in her heart. She'll need to deal with that, with the blood of the Lamb. But if she applies the blood of the Lamb, it will be washed away. Do you believe that the past is really gone? If you do, then why do you have guilt? Do you believe that the past is really gone? If you do, then why do you relate according to the old image? According to the old things, according to the old failures? Do you believe that Christ has washed you and made you a new creation? You see, sometimes people do not believe, and they've gained the world and they've lost elements of their soul. Don't relate to your past. It's a lie. Oh, but I was there. No, you weren't. I remember you're remembering a false memory. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things are passed away and all things are made new. And you have become a new creation. Are you going to gain the whole world by living in the old or by living in the new, where you gain your own soul? Hey, listen to this carefully and do not neglect it in your life. The work is finished. You are not the old. You are the new. The old has been crucified and buried. The old did not rise again. You are not your sin. You are not your experience. You are none of those things. You are a new creature. Stop relating to the old. You are a new creature. You are relating according to a lie if you relate according to the old. You see, you may gain what was in the world again back in the frame of reference, but you will lose your soul. Stop relating according to a lie. Stop relating according to the contrary of the blood of the saved. How many people say stupid things like, well, when I was unsaved, and this is what happened, and this is where I went, and this is what I did, and this is how it was. Liar! It was not. It is dead. And it wasn't you, it was someone who died. You have the life of Christ. You don't criticize Christ and you don't malign the Savior that way. You have the life of Christ. For you to live is Christ. Yeah, you live, but not you, but Christ who lives in you. What are you talking about, past? Why are you relating that way? Do you not believe? You made a mistake yesterday, today you are cleansed. Do you not believe? My Bible says that's what my Savior died for. Yet you never, not one time, not ever, you never relate to the old. Because it's living a lie. And it will damage the things of God. Do you know why you don't do things like that? It damages the things of God. You relate to the old and you damage the things of God. You soil them, you damage them. and God's the one who brought them. You're a new creation. You are a new creation. Do you get that? You are a new creation. You get that? You are a new creation. God made you new, and He made you perfect, and He made you pure, and He made you clean, and He made you holy, and He has removed from you those things that are not of God, and He has killed them, and He has put them in the ground, and you are a new creature. You are not the old person, you are the new person. The old person is dead. Do you believe God? Do you believe His Word? You never relate to yourself according to the past. You have to nullify what the blood of the Lamb did to do that. You know who wants to do that? Knock, knock. Satan at the door. And he is a liar, and he is the... By the way, never agree with Satan, even in part. That's what Eve did. You never agree with Satan, not even in part. Well, I know it's Satan, but this part, I think maybe he's right. No, you're deceived. Why does he do that? To destroy. He came to rob, to kill, and to destroy. That's why he came. That's what he does. That's his ministry. You stop listening to him, and I don't give a flying hooey whose mouth it's coming out of. You stop listening to him. And if it's a friend, or if it's a family member, or whoever, and they say something that is not of God, you cut it off right there. Because he came to rob, and he came to steal, and he came to destroy. You don't start relating to the world, you relate to the things of God. You knock it off. God has something to say here. Pay attention. You relate after the finished work of Christ. And don't expect the unsaved to give that to you, because they're not going to. They don't have it. Don't expect unsaved people to be like saved people. Don't expect a carnal family member or a carnal friend who doesn't even have the Savior, who unfortunately go to hell today if they died. Don't accept that, what they say, the way that you accept something that somebody who's Spirit-filled and Spirit-led says. What are you doing? You're letting him rob and to kill and to destroy. You're letting stealing. He's going to steal from you what God gave you. He's going to murder people's reputations. He's going to slander them. And he's going to destroy what God had done for you. That's his ministry. That's what he came for. You get right. Tired of these people relating after the old and the past. That's so stupid. When God says that you are a new creature, when you are perfect and you are holy and you are pure, and He's giving you something and you lose it because you cannot relate according to faith. No, God made you perfect. God didn't mess it up. He didn't leave a blotch on you. When God says He purifies you, He's made you completely pure. When God says you are as driven snow, you are as driven snow. When God says He removes the east, as far as the east, how many people go, God removes my iniquity and my sin as far as the east is from the west? How many people are going to go chasing to the west to find their iniquity? You know, believers do that. They start chasing after their iniquity. Well, I remember. Well, you're lying to yourself. You live in purity and truth, and you apply the finished work, and if you ever fail, you are no failure. You are washed in the blood, and it has been removed from you, put on the Lamb, and the Lamb has been cleansed of it. Your sin was taken into the wilderness on a scapegoat, and the scapegoat wasn't released to run around in the wilderness. That's not how it went. The scapegoat was tied up by its neck.
hung over a cliff, the rope was cut, the scapegoat died. You don't relate to your past. Period. And if you do, you're not living in truth. And you don't relate to somebody else's past, if God forbid you happen to learn it. Because you learned about the life of a dead man, not of a living one. But God is not a God of the dead, Jesus said in Mark chapter 12. He is the God of the living. You relate to the living one, not to the dead one. It protects you, it protects your relationships, it protects your call, it protects your life, it protects your walk. You get right with God. Well, this is different than I started up. God has something to say to people in this room. I don't know what it is today. God really has something to say to people in this room. He wants to deliver people in this room. He wants people to learn what it means to have a genuine life with God in this room. What are you willing to trade for what God has given you? If there's anything you're willing to trade, you'll make the trade. What are you willing to trade? You will make the trade. Satan will see to that. God brings things in our lives that are special from Him, unique and precious. What are you willing to trade? I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to trade. You buy and you sell. You sell the world and you buy the truth. Or you can buy the world and sell the truth. And it's not just the life in the world. It's the mindset also. Because it all starts with the mindset. What are you willing to trade away that God has given you? You will trade it. This is why he asks, what does it profit a man? You gain the world, but you've lost your soul. Don't do that. Gain your soul, even if it is at the cost of the world. Because this world is going to pass away anyway. There's a song that says, he is no fool who trades what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Buy the truth and sell the world. Amen.